This episode is brought to you by Jiffy Lube. Cars can be a big investment, so it's important to take care of them. I once got a car that I started out with 25,000 miles on. I got it to over 200,000 miles because I took care of it. You know how you take care of a car? You take care of the maintenance, the oil, the brakes, all that stuff. And if you don't, you can have a car just completely fall apart. When your car needs maintenance, head to Jiffy Lube. They provide automotive excellence at speed. Get your oil changed, brakes checked, tons of other multi-care services. It's all done by expertly trained technicians who actually care about taking care of you and your car. Jiffy Lube, car more. To find coupons and start an instant online estimate, visit JiffyLube.com. This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Trello help power global collaboration for all teams so they can accomplish everything that's impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. Learn how to unleash the potential of your team at Atlassian.com. Atlassian.com. Atlassian. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more.
Hi everyone, welcome to Righty's House. I hope you are all safe and well. Today we'll talk about wins for Aston Villa and Crystal Palace in a massive day for the title race, the Women's FA Cup semi-finals, and a little bit about Scotty Scheffler winning the Masters. And my guest is Mr. Ryan Hun.
Hey man.
What's happening, Ray? Yes, bro, that's how I feel. You don't even need to say anything. That's just how I feel.
We knew that there was a bump going to happen at some point.
Yeah.
Liverpool and Arsenal's bump came on the same Sunday.
Same day. Same day, Rai.
How are you feeling about it?
It's funny because I remember the tweet I put out the other day when we were getting ready to play. Well, not a tweet, the post. When we were getting ready to play Bayern. And I was saying, I don't get nervous. I don't get nervous, but I felt a little bit. And you have to feel like that as an Arsenal fan in this time, simply because, yes, we've got the best defensive record. You know what I mean? We've got the best offensive record, scoring goals, everybody. But it's at a time of the season where this is where it has to go to the level of proving, yeah, we're here. This is where we are. And as much as, you know, I want to talk about what we've done, we probably have to start with Villa. Simply because, right, when you look at what Unai's done there, somebody that's not complained about the injuries he's had all season.
Oh,
the fact the other day they've had 2 days less rest, right? Now, I'm not casting aspersions on our fitness, our this, our that, because I thought we started the game how I'd expect us to start the game. And when you listen to Unai's in his interview afterwards, he said, listen, we had to learn from the Manchester City game and in how we're going to defend and how we're going to deny space. And again, right, it came down to Arsenal starting well. I thought that Ødegaard was fucking... You know when you used to play that basketball game when you made all those shots and then the ball just went on fire?
NBA Jam.
The NBA Jam, bro. He was playing NBA Jam
for
reporting that game. he's heating up, right? And he was... electric. And we missed a couple of chances.
Well, I think this is the main thing about this. The first half for me was really good. I thought Arsenal were really, really good.
Yeah.
Not incredible, but really, really good. And this just had shades of late December, early January, where the chances didn't go away. And then Arsenal started to look a bit knackered, couldn't figure anything else out, and got done by a really, really smart performance by another team.
Yeah.
And I think you're going to, if you think about it though, what is it? Before this, 31 points out of 33. And 31 points out of 36 is still pretty good.
It's Ryan, that's magnificent. These are the levels. And you know the thing is, Ryan, I read something quickly about Liverpool and Arsenal's teams, and 80 points is about what these two teams should be getting this season. We know what City can do. This is why people have City as the favourites. But Arsenal and Liverpool, for the season that they're having, especially with people have gone to, obviously they've gone to the bottling, Liverpool have bottled it. We've bottled it, which is very easy for them to do because, yeah. The fact is that these teams are on course to do what they wanted to do at the start of the season. We cannot control what City do, and that's why City are favourites right from the off. But the thing that worried me more than anything else is that that second half performance was, like I said, in the unrecognisable.
Yeah, Arsenal had nothing in that second half. No, I think this is credit to Villa in the sense that even with all of the injuries that they've had this season and continue to have, you know, they still had a load of players missing that they didn't get back. They got a few back for this game compared to some of the people who've been missing recently, but they were still missing Douglas Luiz with suspension.
Kamara's
out still. Padilla's out still. Jacob Ramsey's out. Courtney Howes is out. Yeah. Tyrone Mings.
Mm. Oh my God.
But
Matty Cash, we didn't even mention Matty
Cash. Oh yeah,
Cash,
Matty Cash,
well,
of course. Sorry, he was he was back on the bench though for this week, which was good. Unai Emery and Villa have kind of had Arsenal's number a little bit since he's been there. Every single game has been really awkward. Even the 4-2. Yeah. I mean, if you think last season, the 4-2 away at Villa, you know, on paper, it kind of, you come away from it looking like it was comfortable. It was anything but comfortable. We had those two goals in stoppage time at the end of the game. Yeah. One bounced off Martinez to go in.
Yes.
Moose and I talk about this quite a lot on Stadio in terms of comparing it to the NBA. Some teams just match up really badly. And I think this isn't an excuse or anything, but this is credit to Emery. I think what Emery has managed to do since he's been at Villa is just match up really awkwardly for Arsenal. I actually think the performance overall at Villa Park was better than the one at home for Arsenal, because Arsenal had nothing.
Nothing. We didn't have nothing, but Ryan, I think that it just feeds back into the experience at this stage of the season and how it turns into that we've seen Man City do. We've seen the great teams do. They go and they play games like this when you're going to try and win the league, and it's fucking tough, right? Yes, you might have just come back from Champions League. You may not have had enough rest. Yes, you may be tired because a lot of the boys did look tired. But this is what the big teams do. They kind of find something to get through that. And I thought that, again, you know, Villa have to get the credit, but I thought that we were doing everything up to the point I'd go to half time.
Yeah, half time.
I'd go to half time because I think that when they went in there, I think Unai's fucking blasted them. Because what you notice very, very early in a game, Ryan, when you go to a team that are doing well and they're at home and you go that long, they miss the chances, you come in and you're still well in the game. That is the time when the manager fucking lays into you about, this team's not on it. Yes, they've played well, but they're not on it. We need to get on it, pass it around, move them around a bit, get this crowd fucking, take the energy out of the crowd, and then try and take the chances. We need to compete better, hold the ball, because they've got players who can do that in their midfield. Ollie Watkins was a threat. You know when you start seeing a centre forward, who, even when he's not on the ball, but when he's running towards it, when he's going to get it, you kind of get a feeling because you think he can do something. Even with his chance. Let's face it, Villa had two chances, really. Obviously,
well,
he's won it at the post.
Three chances. Yeah, the one with the post.
Three chances.
Yeah, yeah.
The one with the post. The crossbar.
Yep. Well, the Tielemans one.
Yes,
no, that's, man. See, I don't think that's a chance because we have this thing on Stadio where Tielemans only scores bangers.
He only scores bangers.
And none of them are actually a chance. Like, Tielemans' goals are so good. They don't class as chances because they're not really chances.
But we know, right, that when you hit the bar and the post and come out.
It's the best thing, right? It's the best thing. It's only the only thing better than if it hits the one post, hits the other post, and then comes out.
And then comes out. But, right, the thing with it is that I thought when they came out and they really did start to play, and we looked very disheveled, very unorganized. We're now, you know what I mean? I thought it's the game where I thought Declan Rice looked as weary as I've ever seen him. Obviously, Ben White's had to come off. I thought that it would have been a game for Martinelli to start.
There is obviously some thinking behind there because there's thinking behind everything. But I do wonder what the decision, or how the decision was made not to start Martinelli in a game against a team with a notoriously
high line. Yeah, yeah.
But against Bayern, maybe it was one not to start Martinelli. You know, like originally, we were talking about this, right? Where if Martinelli at the moment...
It's needed more control, maybe.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I actually quite liked some of the interplay between Trossard and Havertz on that left-hand side. I thought Havertz actually played quite well in that role. Yeah, we haven't seen him in that role for a while. I quite liked a couple of the things Gabriel Jesus did. You know, he kind of, he's very wriggly.
Yes, that's the thing with him. Yeah, he is. And, very and he elusive. Gets,
yeah, he looks like he's in a load of trouble and then all of a sudden he's in space. Because he brought on Martinelli just after an hour.
Yeah.
But I
yeah.
think at that point, it settled into a bit of a rhythm where Arsenal kind of, it felt like it was going to be one of those days that Arsenal just don't break a team down. And that's because Villa was so well organised and kind had our number a bit.
But this is why with the Martinelli starting and the Trossard, the way he changes that around, because I feel that Trossard does give him not that explosiveness what Martinelli gives you, which I think you need, especially at home against a high line, simply because he's going to chase Ezri Konsa down there, centre half playing at right back, who are always uncomfortable out there. We know that Ezri can do it, but the mere fact that we saw Kai Havertz on a couple of occasions get in on that back line, right? You're thinking with a bit more pace, because there was one in particular Kai went through on, and he kind of got caught up. Whereas you do believe, he couldn't get away. Maybe if Martinelli was on, he probably outstrips that defender and gets there. So this is where I was thinking, I would probably start Trossard against Bayern Munich and Martinelli against Villa, because you know when Martinelli gets on it in a game, he really does. He lifts everybody, lifts the crowd, keeps us going, and we just didn't quite have that. What we had was a lot of Ødegaard doing some unbelievable things, and then the chances created were, some of his passing was amazing.
This episode is brought to you by Jiffy Lube. Cars can be a big investment, so it's important to take care of them. I once got a car that I started out with 25,000 miles on. I got it to over 200,000 miles because I took care of it. You know how you take care of a car? You take care of the maintenance, the oil, the brakes, all that stuff. And if you don't, you can have a car just completely fall apart. When your car needs maintenance, head to Jiffy Lube. They provide automotive excellence at speed. Get your oil changed, brakes checked, tons of other multi-care services. It's all done by expertly trained technicians who actually care about taking care of you and your car. Jiffy Lube, car more. To find coupons and start an instant online estimate, visit jiffylube.com.
Do you know what it felt like a little bit in the first half, though? You know, with Dan Sattles, a bit of head spinning and then kind of being like,
Yeah.
You know, because it was just like, all right, cool, but there's nothing else really.
There's nothing else,
No one's getting hurt.
Yes. And this is where, right, again, we've done a great move with the Jesus miss. And again, it can't, right, I can't emphasize enough how important it is at this stage of the season to do the basics. Because you want to, because you can see the, we saw it in Liverpool.
Well, right?
Is do the basics in this time. Do the basics right. Tony Adams would say that when I remember, especially in the running. Remember, I was injured for most of it. Tony Adams would always say, "Do your job right. What your job?" And for me, a forward at this stage of the season, your job is to, if you get the opportunity, and I'm talking about that kind of opportunity, then you go back to the basics. The ball's coming across. Yes, it's coming from a left footer, so it's swerving in. So you can sometimes get that timing wrong because the ball's not coming to you from right to left. It's coming from left to right. So you've got to kind of help it on its way. So when you've got to try and head that back across the goal, right, sometimes the spin is going away from him. Whereas if the ball is coming from a right footer with an in-swinger, the spin is coming towards you. That's where they say head it back where it's coming from, especially. But even though this ball was coming from a left footer so that sort of spins the other way, you still have to, from that distance from the goal, you have to get it across goal, simply because if you do save it, the goalkeeper, if it does hit somebody, it's in the middle of the goal. You totally negate yourself if you're going to go near post. When you're that close as well, you're going to go near post. You don't do anything. You don't bring the goalie in. You don't bring deflections off a defender in for somebody to have a tap in. You have to go to the basics of heading that back where it's come from. So you head it across the goal. Now, I believe, and I it's only when I heard the interview afterwards, when he said, we had to learn from City and we had to be tight. And I think if we if we score that, then you follow it up with, again, the Trossard chance.
The Trossard chance. Well, this is, I think, the thing, the difference in, this is why I say it kind of reminds me a little bit of those games where we weren't really taking our chances and just looked a little bit leggy.
I'll tell you what it felt like. Musa said this to me once with Messi against Saudi Arabia in the World Cup. Yeah. He says he took that chance as if he knew more were coming.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of don't think this was one of those games, though. I think this is just one of those where, because I don't think chances weren't coming with the regularity that you knew that there were more coming, right? Arsenal didn't have a huge amount of massive chances, but I just feel like the Trossard one, for example, you know, a foot either side, it goes in, it's a different game.
That's a full-on chance.
But Arsenal, this is the thing at the moment, in the era of this kind of Premier League, or the current Premier League era that we're in, those things can be so massive because everyone is actually really good below just the title challengers. Like Villa are a really, really, really good side.
Really good team. Very good team.
They're legit. And you cannot half step against a team like Villa. Otherwise, this will happen. I mean, to be honest, you can't really half step like against anyone in the Premier League.
At least,
you know, like Arsenal, you saw what Arsenal went and did to West Ham away.
Mm.
Got stung at home by West Ham. Mm. And it's actually, you know, a similar kind of performance, I think. I think Arsenal were overall better in that West Ham game. But in the first half here, Arsenal were really good. Villa, I think, just hung in there, though, and slowly started to, like, just ramp it up a bit in the second half. And they played really well. I think they targeted that little channel in between Zinchenko and Gabriel.
Gabriel, yeah.
And they kind of, it looked like that was where they were trying to get in behind Arsenal. If you look at where the Watkins run comes from for the second goal, it's in that kind of inside left channel, even though, you know, obviously Arsenal were chasing the game at that point.
But let's go through their goals, right? Only because, again, I think that if Martinelli starts that game, I don't think he leaves that player. He'll be more tuned into making sure that, you know what, I'm going to have to go with Bailey from where I am and just attach myself to Bailey because you could see him going, and then Bailey detached himself in respects of, okay, that if Martinelli looks around...
He's on the pitch at that point, though, isn't he?
Yeah. If Martinelli looks around, he could see that, you know, Bailey's coming in on the back post, but he kind of stops in and around just by the 18-yard box. And again, comes down to seeing your job out. Now, maybe that's because he didn't start the game. He wasn't in the flow of the game. He didn't know who to pick up, but he should have recognized in that particular moment, that's my man.
Right.
And so once he scored that, I was like, oh my gosh. But then
I think if you look at that, you have three quite experienced guys in a defensive sense there looking across and all kind of just getting attracted to the ball, which just feels very, this isn't something that...
This is what I'm saying. This is unrecognizable.
You don't really need to do that. And then Declan Rice kind of finally turns around and realizes the danger. But that's quite disappointing because you've got that covered. You've kind of got Raya. You've got, I think, Saliba and Gabriel all make that move towards the ball when the ball comes in, and then Declan Rice is on the back post.
Yeah.
And doesn't catch Bailey quick enough. That's quite disappointing because...
It wasn't
like Leon Bailey had to make a really super smart run or anything. He just kind of hung there at the back post and just waited.
Yeah. I think
it was a good finish.
Weaker foot on the angle. It was one of those that it was an important goal to score. So again, right, get your technique right. Mm. He got it right on his weak foot and slotted it in. And I thought to myself, you know something, like you just explained it, how we were just a little bit out of kilter, you know what I mean? And because we're not seeing people scoring goals against us so frequently, being the best defensive team. So all of a sudden, when you're looking at Arsenal a little bit out of shape, you know what I mean? Martinelli not recognising, you know, Declan not being able to get across in time and not sorting out that particular moment when Villa cut it across the whole of the 6-yard box. And then him scoring, I thought, you know what? This isn't us. This isn't our day. And this isn't us. I don't recognise us. And with the second goal, right, with Jorginho coming on to control it, in that moment, right, they tried to play it down the left. That's where Villa were totally congregated. Now, all their players were there. I think we had our two defenders were in and around. Obviously, they were in and around the center circle because we were pressing in, trying to press them in. Because remember, it's Emile Smith-Rowe who's chasing is chasing Ollie Watkins yep. back. But it was Jorginho's pass back into an area, right, where I there's no way that pass is getting through where he is because it went straight to the Villa player and he played it instantly straight forward. And I'm thinking, that is just, again, not us. If Jorginho turns out, he's got two players in the centre circle, we regurgitate it, bring it out the other side and go again. And so when that happened, I thought, oh, shit. And then when Ollie Watkins went through, I genuinely thought in my mind, he's scoring.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he's playing that kind of game where I think, you know what, this guy is working his socks off. My mindset was always, I know this isn't the game where I'm going to get a lot of touches, but I've got to make sure I get in at the back. And if I get a fucking chance, I'm going to try and take it. That's how he played that game. He hit the post in the first half with his first chance. Didn't get too many more. Didn't get hardly any more. I don't think he got any more chances after that. But then he got this chance and showed us why, you know what I mean? He's what, one behind Erling Haaland now, 19.
I mean, that's
unbelievably
amazing.
Calm and composed finish.
But this is the kind of striker that everyone kind of wants. Someone who you don't have to... I mean, Ollie Watkins is going to miss chances as well, and he does miss chances because every striker in the world misses chances. But he's slowly maturing, or not slowly really, I mean, he has matured into a striker who... Mm. I don't know, let's say he wasn't exactly... No disrespect to him, but he wasn't exactly feared. I think people knew he was good, but he wasn't exactly feared. And I think he's slowly turning...
Becoming a fearful striker. Absolutely is. You know something, Ryan? Just before we go, move on, I should say. I've got to say that the negativity that's come out of Arsenal in respects of fans and that, seeing fans saying we bottled it, it's now laughable. But like, you have to mention it because like even Tim Stillman... Stillmanator, big up the Stillmanator. He was talking about how disappointing it is, but he cannot understand the anger and the blame for a team. Let's face it, right? Like I mentioned at the start of this, we're on course to do exactly what we need to do, and that is getting 80 points plus to challenge, right? To challenge. So for our own fans, and I've hearing fans talking about us bottling it, not taking into account the progression that's happening and the experience that these players are gaining and how good it's been up to this point. It's like, as a player, you're probably in that dressing room, listen, and you'll probably see some of the shit as it starts to transpire.
Yeah, but also, we're talking about it like it's past tense. Six games to go, and we're 2 points
behind.
Six
games to go.
What are we talking about?
Arsenal fans should know better, especially the fans who cannot wait to turn on Mikel, turn on the team. Oh, he didn't do this. Oh, he didn't do that. This is the stage of the season where these are the decisions that's going to shape him, whether it's a mistake or not. These are the decisions on the pitch for the players where they learn the most in respects of going to the next level. We are moving at a very high rate to the next level in who we're trying to chase in Manchester City.
Yep.
Manchester City, they're on this Bayern Munich run.
Well, this is interesting. This is kind of what Tim said, right? Tim said what's basically happened here. Arsenal have lost a game they probably should have won against a team that is in the Champions League spots. Right, this should be a normal, not a normal result, but a result that's like, okay, yeah, like the team that's in fourth won against the team that started the day second. Like that should be able to happen in the league, right? It's disappointing for sure. But we're in an era now where I think like so much of football discourse is framed in the negative.
Yes.
That stuff like this is just like rocket fuel because it's like, right, cool, we can go here. But we don't need to do this now because we've got so long to go. We've got 18 points to play for. We're 2 points behind. Points will be dropped in this title race. But before we move on from the Arsenal game, I think just one final big up. And also, big up to Villa. But also,
absolutely,
did you see our boy, Luis Miguel Echegaray?
Oh,
was there.
He was there. I know. I'm pleased for him. And Unai, flowers. I'm going to give Unai some flowers. Yeah.
I like that.
I'm going to give him flowers. You know what I mean? I am excited to see, Mikel said, it's about how we bounce back.
We've got a massive
game against Bayern, and we've got to finish this league campaign off. This is when the team need the team.
Yep.
The fans. We need the fans now. You know what I mean? Because this season has been brilliant when you consider what we've done from last season. We're still progressing. We're still in it.
Still a long way to go. And also, the closer you get to success, the bigger the disappointment feels. So, you know, these next four games are massive. Bayern away, massive, Wolves away, Chelsea home, Spurs away. And I think that these four, depending on how we get out of these, will be... Like, for example, if Arsenal progress for the through the to the next round of the Champions League and then pick up 9 points, it's on.
Yeah. Right?
But you just... It's all... This is it. It's the stage of the season where every point matters. Yes.
Every point.
Big up Villa. Big up Palace.
Yes,
beating
Palace.
Liverpool 1-0 at Anfield.
But Ryan, did you see how Palace were playing?
Well, their goal was fucking it was so good that it cut to Klopp, and Klopp just went, wow.
Yes.
Wow.
With Walton and Hughes in that midfield, when Decore comes back, him anchoring it, and with Walton and Hughes, Will Hughes, who are really good footballers. Then you've got
Mateta. Will Hughes, man.
Yeah, man. Then you've got Mateta up front, who really looks like a problem now with his physicality and his how calm he is as well when he's finishing. Eze, Annalise, some of the play, the one-touch play, blah, 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 and then to score that goal, Palace.
So good.
Going to have to give them some flowers as well. My mate Cunny, my dear mate Cunny, goalkeeper. I was so happy for him. I'm happy for all my Palace fans who I know, who my mates who I know, because I know what it means to them. And for them to see Palace playing that well at Liverpool, should make them feel very good about the future and the future of this manager. So fingers crossed that it continue to move for Palace. You know what I was pleased about? Right. When Van Dijk slipped for some reason, I just didn't want them to score that goal because I don't want a goal. No, I was like, oh my God. And you know what? Yeah. It was, Andy Robertson, again, that clearance off the line to save your captain, the timeless stick he would get for slipping like they do with Steven Gerrard was just like something that he should have said, you know something, I've got to buy you a drink. But Palace, well done. Fucking well done.
Yeah, great result. And obviously that meant that the big cliche, Man City had the best Sunday, even though they didn't play. Mm. Manchester City 5, Luton 1. They had their own goal really early on, and then it took over an hour until Kovacic got the second for Man City.
Exactly. They hang in there. They hung in there. No easy games. No easy games, man. Unlucky Luton.
Luton, kind of hanging in there and still getting done 5-1. Just go with Guardiola.
Scored another beauty.
Two great goals in a week.
Great goals, yeah. Scored a nice goal.
Some tidy finishing.
Did we mention, quickly just... We mentioned Palace, but Liverpool can only look at themselves in the last couple of games. And even Andy Robertson in his interview, he just has said, listen, the forwards have to take those chances.
Got to put the chances away.
All of them. Yeah. All of them. It's not just like a one person. All of them had chances to win the game. And again, they will know more than anybody else. And anybody knows at this stage of the season, you are going for that. You can't miss those chances. Half chances have to be taken. That's why you're an elite striker playing in a team that's trying to win these kind of titles and these trophies, because you can deal with the moment and scoring those moments. Now for Liverpool in the last couple of games, honestly, it's like the chance conversion, it's so bad.
Yeah, I mean, this is the thing. You look at Man City as well in the last three Premier League games, 5 goals, 4 goals, 4 goals. So they're starting to like really ramp it up.
Yeah.
Speaking of goals,
yes.
Quick shout for Newcastle, beating Spurs 4-0. Newcastle were really, really good. Yeah. Very good performance.
Anthony Gordon. Can I just say with Anthony Gordon, what Eddie Howe, again, looking at a player that has gone somewhere and has blossomed. Mm. What Eddie Howe's done for him, his movement off the line, you know what I mean? His finishing, his energy. You know what I mean? We're looking at a winger now who is firmly put himself in the picture for the Euros.
Oh, yeah.
He looks like, again, like you mentioned before with Ollie Watkins, Anthony Gordon looks like a problem.
Yeah.
He's a problem.
Yeah.
He's bringing seven out of 10 performances every week, 8, 9s maybe. But like his consistency has gone somewhere else. Eddie Howe's got to take a lot of credit for the way that he's nurtured him through to start an England international.
Mm. And obviously, shouts to Alexander Isak. 2 more goals
for
him.
Yes, bro. Yes,
so
bro.
Sick. He's so sick. Win for Brentford against Sheffield United. A draw for Burnley against Brighton. Oh, the Muric error with the ball going under his foot for the Brighton goal.
Yeah.
Oh. Forest 2, Wolves 2, in what I like to call the Derby Della Gibbs White.
Della Gibbs White, yeah. I like his celebration, what he done. But you know what? You can't do celebrations against your old team.
Why?
Just because you've scored. You have to, it has to be a winner.
Okay.
You have it has to be a winner, right?
All right.
Because what happened to him. They scored again and game.
Says the notoriously chill in celebration, Ian Wright, second highest goal scorer for Arsenal, who did... notorious for putting the hands up doing the guys,
bro. Sorry. And no, bro, I wasn't putting hands, I was kissing badges, bro.
Hey, but at the same time, you'd say to me, you're out of order,
the same time, you can't give the fans the opportunity to not only come back for you, but next season they're waiting for him. If he's in this league that next season, I think whatever happens with Forest, Gibbs White will be in the Premier League.
I mean, this is the great thing about the Premier League this season. It doesn't really matter. The league is a complete catfish because we're not going to find out about who the final league positions until about three weeks after the season anyway.
Yes.
Bournemouth 2, Man United 2. One of those where Man United will probably be the happier of the two afterwards. Manchester United conceding 20 shots against an opposition again.
It's like, I don't know what's going on with that. I've never seen anything like it. And some of the times, I was watching the game. You know what I mean? It's one of those games that you have on, but like you watch it and there was moments where Bournemouth two passes and they're on the edge of Man United's box. And I'm not talking about two humps over the top of people, passing through their lines into the heart of Manchester United's half, into the heart. I can't understand
tactically,
it.
Tactically, Man United this season remind me a bit of a Roomba. You know, those like little robotic Hoovers. Because you know when they just keep bouncing into their chair leg.
That is Man United.
That's kind of like, why change? Anyway.
But like, yeah.
And quick shout for Fulham beating West Ham 2. That's a good result for Fulham.
Yes, well done, Fulham.
George Earthy, hope he's okay. He got taken off with that horrible.
Yeah, that looked quite bad. I hate to see when they're on for that long. It really does worry me. Because I always worry for the fact, because you can't, people could maybe not realise that the last thing you're expecting when you go to watch a family member play is not only them not getting injured, but getting the kind of injury that, you know, everybody's worried about. People are worried. That is horrifying.
Yeah.
So I really do hope he's okay. You know what I mean?
Because no update yet from the last time. From the last one from West Ham, he said he's undergoing more tests in hospital, but he was awake. But yeah.
I wish him all the best. Yeah,
yeah, man.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Right, a Women's FA Cup, bro. Wow.
Wow. Where do you want to start?
We've got to start with Tottenham.
Oh, yeah.
Because when you look at Tottenham and where Tottenham were, was it like 2 years ago? So I saw it from Tom Gary, the great Tom Gary. They lost the home fixture, right, against Keynsham Town in a season where Spurs would go on to finish eighth in the third tier south of the women's football pyramid. Now they are heading to Wembley for the Women's FA Cup. Magnificent. Can I say what Vilaham's done with that team to bring them to the brink of success in respect of the FA Cup? Magnificent. Congratulations to him. Giving him flowers as well. I'm going to give him some flowers for what they've done. You know what I liked about what I saw? Because obviously I was watching the game. So I saw Beth England dropping and playing some football, bro.
Man, I love it when Beth England gets... She's so busy that she's kind of involved in everything that's going on.
Yeah, yeah. she took this game by the scruff of the neck with the experience that she's got with Tottenham side, you know, with someone like Ashley Neville, who I'm so pleased that Ashley Neville gets to go to a place like Wembley and play at Wembley and show everybody how good she is, because she is definitely somebody that I cannot understand has not even had a training session or been picked to have a look at on that right side for England. And I'm not saying that she's the future, but the way she's played, the way she's been loyal and stayed with Spurs and been their best player for so many years, I'm pleased that she's finally getting that place, you know, a time to play at Wembley in a big final is just reward for obviously a lot of hard work and dedication. And so for her, she's stuck with it. They've brought some players in and around her, you know, like Beth, you know, like Grace Clinton on loan. This is something that I have to speak about, Ryder. Beth, the Grace Clinton loan move is and now you've said to a player, Man United have said to Grace Clinton, listen, we can't see you playing in our team this season, so you can go out on loan. I think, Rye, and people might disagree, I think that once you are admitting that this player cannot get into our team, we need this player to go out and get experience and play, build themselves up and get themselves to a level that they can maybe come back and maybe be in the team. But while they're there, Rye, they should be able to, if they play well enough, and she has played well enough, she now can't play.
I hate this law. I hate this thing.
It's fucking heartbreaking.
Because
it's,
you see it all over Europe and it works fine. Players play against their parent clubs all the time. You send a player on loan and they get to the FA Cup final with the team that they're on loan with. If your goal is to develop the player, then that level of experience and development is incredible.
Surely that's
right?
The game
so
you wanted to
you
be playing.
I just don't see the point. I mean, it doesn't, even if you play against, even if it's just a league game and you can't play against your parent club, I don't like that.
Yeah, that's something that has to be changed, because it's taking something away from her that, fingers crossed, she will get more days like that. But she's been with that team all season. I really, really feel for her. And as soon as they won, that's the first thing I thought, oh, that's such a bloody shame that is.
I mean, Manchester United beating Chelsea.
Yes.
To go through.
I was pleased for them, but I tell you, I'm still worried for Chelsea, simply because that, again...
You're always worried though, man. You're very nervous.
Yeah, man, I'm a worried guy.
For someone who, quote unquote, doesn't get nervous.
Yeah, I get nervous all the time, but like...
I think that's because you got a big heart, Ian, right? You're always worried for someone. Always worried for someone.
It's funny because as much as, you know, of course you're pleased for Man United, but you could see that at the moment, Emma, with everything that's going on with Emma, you know, right, again, they've gone 2-0 down. And have not been able to overturn it. I think they've done it once in 13 games, lost 11, drawed one. Yeah. And it's something that Emma was really upset about when someone mentioned it in a press conference, and it's happened again. It's happened again.
I did like it was the tale of the two former strikers though. Rachel Williams scoring against her old club, Lauren James scoring against her old club.
Yeah.
Felt like everyone was just, you know, kind of, again, revenge missions.
It felt revengey. And Mary Earps made some great saves, but it was very, you know, she was in Mary Earps mode, you know, she was springy and, you know, catching the ball and falling on it.
Yeah, just just doing the whole, like, oh, just getting up.
I'm going to catch the ball and fall on the floor.
But
Congratulations to both of them. Looking forward to that final.
Me too.
So much on that final. for both of those teams.
Yeah, but before we move on to some other stuff, but can I suggest flowers for one last football thing?
Yeah, of course.
Which Moose and I will talk about probably for the entirety of today's Stadio. Flowers for Granit Xhaka.
Oh, Granit Xhaka, man. Leverkusen. Wow.
Do you remember when we did who would be the football in Loki?
Yes, it's Granit Xhaka,
and
bro.
I said it's Granit Xhaka because he went to the Bundesliga, and his purpose was to stop the Bayern juggernaut. And he also scored on the day that they won the Bundesliga at home. They beat Werder Bremen 5-0. Florian Wirtz got his first senior hat trick.
Oh my god!
By the way,
Florian Wirtz. Remember that name for the Euros. Remember that name, because if Germany get going, they are cooking up Michelin style stuff. I'm telling you.
You know what's fun? He only came on at halftime.
Bro, he is awesome.
But anyway, I just wanted to give flowers. And flowers to Xabi Alonso, by the way.
Yeah.
It's Bayer Leverkusen's first ever title. But, you know, going back to what we were saying earlier about with the Premier League.
Yes.
Bayer Leverkusen are now, I think, 4 games away from equaling the all-time, all-comps unbeaten record in the UEFA era in Europe. That is what you have to do. That's the kind of shit you have to do in modern-day football to break the kind of, like, the dominant teams, you know?
That's what's going to have to happen. That's what's going to have to happen. But, hey, good stuff. So,
speaking of breaking dominance,
bro,
should we do some Masters chat quick?
Yes, bro, because like you rightly said that dominance.
Scotty the Chef Scheffler,
bro.
Follows up the Players' Championship with his second Masters. You and I were texting all through this because we wanted to talk some Masters stuff. And we were kind of rooting. We love Scotty Scheffler. He's it's the second time he's won the Masters while being the number one in the world, I think. He was the overwhelming favourite going into it. And it's kind of rare, I think, that the overwhelming favorite like that,
yeah, especially just at that comes course,
and
does it, right?
You know,
just, yeah, and going to a course like that where it's so difficult. You know what I love about the Masters is that you go to you watch the Masters, and it's the only tournament where you see top pros playing shots and missing greens and making the kind of mistakes that you make on a regular basis when you're playing. It's the massive test. You see them like tap putts, which we know it's like grease lightning on there. And miss, like I saw Bryson DeChambeau do some putts, so I'm thinking, he's putting like me. You know what I mean?
Who was it we were talking about the other day? And you said, someone's not on it on Thursday. And I quoted your stick to football quote back at you. Where I was just like, maybe who's playing partners. He's missing one belt loop.
He's missing one of the belt loops.
Because you said, well, I'd stick to football when Rory was on. You know, how do you concentrate? Because if I'm playing with someone and their belt's like not in the loop, I'm gone. I'm gone.
Yes. But like, you look at Rory, and I think that the Masters is we've seen how difficult it is to do that Grand Slam. And this is why, Rye, when I said Tiger did it in a year.
I know. It's incredible.
Are we gonna all just let that sink in? And like you look at Rory and you could see how tough it is for him to try and get this last one over the line. I think it's 10 years, right? Did you say since
10
his
years,
last major?
10 years coming up since I think he won his last major. But I think for Rory, I think he needs to win another major first. I think he needs to win somewhere else. I think he needs to win like the US Open or another Open before. I think, because you've got two things with the Masters, right? When he goes into Masters, it's the Grand Slam. But it's also just winning another major. That's double pressure, especially at a place like Augusta. If he goes and wins somewhere else, gets that off his back, just the kind of thing about winning another major, I think that'll free him up a little bit more for Augusta.
Hopefully.
But he said afterwards that his game just wasn't where he wanted it to be at. And I think you could see that.
Yeah, but this is why when you look at Scheffler, I know he's won, he won the Players coming in, but coming in as favourite, at no stage did he look like he wasn't going to win it apart from that 11th.
Yeah, I think this is the main difference between Scheffler and everyone else, right? So Max Homer, a guy that I love, and I think you finally like Max, right?
I love Max. I love Max. Good. And I love his story.
You know, he has that double on the par 3 12th where he goes into the bushes at the edge and has to take an unplayable. And then you end up doubling that. And that's actually not bad. Doubling the 12th, really, after an error, you know, especially people going to the war. Then you've got the par 5, 13th coming up. And you kind of think, if that's Scotty, he makes birdie or eagle there.
Yes, my friend.
Because that's the response. Like, so when Scotty bogeys 7 and then goes birdie, 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 bogeys 11, pars 12, which is fine, and then goes birdie, birdie, pars the 15th, which is like, was kind of a little bit scrappy. But he's got a 4-shot lead at that point, or 3-shot lead at that point.
Birdie
16, and then it's just chill. And I think that's
Some of his chips to save, right, is where the mental strength of him is up there with the greats, obviously. It's just like when he was out of position or he had to chip, you just felt like he's going to up and down this
yeah.
at this course.
That's the thing. It was almost like it, no matter how out of position he was or where he missed, it was always kind of chill. And I think that was the main difference between him and everyone else this week. And you're talking about Rory. It's like Rory just really struggles to respond to stuff. It's almost like, here we go again.
I think that Scotty Scheffler, people like Scotty Scheffler, probably Tiger Woods, you even go back to Jack Nicklaus, to all the greats. You can go back to all the greats and they've got something about their persona and their mentality, which if you haven't got that naturally, which I think that those players have, then it comes from experience and what you're working on and being in a state. I think you have to be in a certain Zen state to then go to the Masters with the kind of like aura that Scotty Scheffler went there with, where you, at no stage did I think he wasn't going to win it or be amongst it, because he seemed so calm and so in control of everything. You know, even everybody talking about the right leg going around the back. I've seen some of those drives with the tracer with somebody's that his leg. And I was asking my man Tony, my mate Tony, he's a golf pro. What's happening there? He said he's already hit the ball. The foot is moving after he's gone through the swing, so it looks a lot worse than it is, because every single one of those drives went where he wanted them to, apart from obviously when he kind of like double crossed himself and went straight over to the left.
Isn't that the great thing about golf though? We were talking about that, how like even like the best player in the world sometimes does stuff where you and I would just be like, oh, what the fuck have I done that for?
I know.
But you're talking about mentality, and this is why I want to shout out someone who has got, I think this person is probably the most alarming person for Rory coming through. It's Ludwig. Right. Ludwig
Åberg. So he's going all, yeah, he's going to be
first major. And he finishes tied second along with Tommy Fleetwood and Max Homer. Was in with a shout, right? But you were talking about how they respond to.
Was that with the. He had an eagle chance. Did he have an eagle chance there one time? I think when he was five under.
On 13, right?
Yeah.
But basically, he doubled 11, stuck it into the water, misjudged the wind on 11.
Yes.
Stuck his second into the water.
And Morikawa.
Yeah. But when he comes off that green, he's smiling and he's talking to his caddy and he's kind of like smiling. And I saw this a couple of times. He had a double on Thursday. He doubled the 15th. And the same thing. Like, where he's, and then he's on the 12th tee and it's just like, it's done. Yeah. And then he basically.
I wish I had.
Pars 12. Birdie's 13, birdie's 14, and he ends up with 69, which is just amazing. Like,
amazing, yeah.
I think
on the last day.
He's going to win, I think he's going to win a ton of majors, Ludwig. Ludwig's sick.
Mm-hmm.
Quick shout out again for Tommy Fleetwood. Tied second along with
Tied second. Keep hanging there, Tommy. Yeah, me too.
Big Everton fan as well, apparently.
Is he?
Yeah.
I got to tell you as well. Can I just say quickly with Colin Morikawa, because his form coming in, I think he's changed his coaches again. I think he's had a couple of changed his putt. I think twice.
Yep.
In at the Masters, so he's still not in the place he wants to be. And for him to put together four rounds where you know he's challenging on the last day, but for obviously a few shots again, you know, I mean, he's somebody that. When he gets it going, Morikawa, he's another one who's going to be a problem. There's some great players about.
Oh, man.
Max Homer. I think Max Homer, he played. It was so great to watch him that you couldn't help getting on his bandwagon because he just wanted it so much for him. I mean, when you mentioned to me, Ray, he lost his tour card twice.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So his journey is amazing. For him to be there and be that close is why when you put yourself in his shoes, like while he's playing, I could feel the tension. How I probably would have felt in that situation, because he's been very low in his career, and this was a high where he's trying to make it happen. And you know what I mean? I really, really do sympathize with the fact that, okay, it didn't happen, but he was there, and you know, his journey up to this point is because he's so bloody good. So I'm just hoping for his sake that he can take something from it, which he will. Because he's a top pro.
I think this has been massive for Max, because he's always had a bit of a thing about majors. And I think being in there on the final day, you know, really not doing much wrong apart from that, apart from the double on 12. But he just didn't really make enough birdies. I think he got in some really good positions. I think Saturday he looked a little bit nervous. I think Saturday was the one. If he picked up a few more birdies on Saturday, I think he would have been away. But yeah, I'm really encouraged for Max, and one of my favourite swings in golf.
Yeah.
Finally, before we go, we've got to go back to Scottie Scheffler. The more in the world. Second green jacket, second major, follows on from the Players. I've got a question. Do you think he could do them all this year?
You know something? Jesus Christ, right. If there is one person who's got the mental strength to do the lot of them, it's him. I think he will end up with all of them. He'll do the Grand Slam. No danger.
You think?
I think that, yeah. I think he'll do them. And now, I think that that's what he's going to be going for, because it's the white whale in golf, isn't it? So he's on there. He's trying to, he can do it.
I mean, in basically like every statistical category, Scottie Scheffler is up there. The one thing that was letting him down the last couple of years was putting, right?
Putting,
and
yeah.
Now he's sorted the putting out, and everything just seems a little bit automatic. Even when it gets a little bit squirmy,
yep.
There's no real danger of it getting too out of control. Also, he's able to win on like in different courses, like not every court. You know how like some players can only really win on certain courses? Winning the Players, then winning the Masters. I think it's going to be interesting, man.
I've got to give Scotty flowers. I believe that I'm going to go so far as to say Scotty Scheffler will be the next person to do the Grands. He'll be the next person to do the Grand Slam. And join those guys. Join the big men.
Shouts to Scotty. Shouts to you as well. It was a lovely weekend just texting about the golf.
Oh,
getting voice notes,
Rye,
off Ian Wright, just being like, you know what, Rye? I think he should have cut that into that green. With that pin
and
position.
Rye, can we just quickly, can we let the people know my best round?
You did.
My best round on Saturday, I shot a 74. You know what I mean? Started with two bogeys, and then I shot 19 on the front and 21 on the back. Or something.
Points.
Or 22, yeah. 19 points on the front, 22 on the back. Worked out like, I was like four over.
You went out in 38. I think you came back in 36 because you came back level, didn't you?
I've never been so happy.
Oh, man.
Since I retired from football, in respects of for a sporting achievement, because I've been for the last, I don't know how long, as long as you want, since I've been playing, I've been trying to get a consistency that in the last two, three rounds, I've felt something coming.
I love you, right?
Yeah.
So there have been a few conversations being like, no, you don't have to, I don't think you have to give it up yet. Just
remember.
I went there. Just chill.
I was in the basement, bro. I nearly gave up. There's one time, just quickly, right? I was on the 13th and I was trying to practice his swing, which I thought I got it, and I duffed it for different reasons on the same hole three times. And I remember the last time when I hit it, and then I just thought, you know, I'm going to just go in. And I felt like I was well enough.
I remember I was not...
I was
like Gary Lineker, being like,
someone have a word with him. I was pathetic.
Golf is a really hard sport. Like,
but this is what I'm saying, right? I was so hard on myself. It was pathetic. So there you go.
There you go, man. Note, I'm hopefully glad you're back. You're going to go for your green jacket soon.
You know something? I feel like I'm close. I feel like I've found something. I'm close.
I love that. It's just like your golf stuff is literally like, you know that meme being like, we're so done. We're so back. Good golf chat, man.
Hey, man. I love you, man. Thanks a lot, Rye.
I love you too, man. You and I are going to be back after Bayern.
Yes, we got Bayern. See, that's something else to look forward to. So yeah, let's look forward to that. Thank you very much to my dear friend, Ryan Hahn, for coming in. Because when your team loses, you're not happy, but then you got to find it again. So that's what we got to do. We got to find it because we got to go again. So I'll speak to everybody after the Bayern game, after, fingers crossed, we've beaten them. Okay, take it easy, everybody.